My guest today is Scott Addy. Scott, how you doing?
Good, David. How are you?
I'm doing really well. What do you do?
So for about 4 weeks now, I've worked on the docs team at Microsoft.
Welcome to Microsoft.
Thank you. Official blue badge now. So focused on ASP.NET Core docs for the time being. Uh-huh. There's about two or three of us doing that. Pretty big responsibility, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah, I think it's a big impact thing because a lot of people are still trying to figure out this whole .NET Core and ASP.NET Core.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, previously this framework was known as ASP.NET 5, which caused a lot of confusion. So, you go out to events like this, talk to developers who haven't maybe looked at it in a while, and they still think it's ASP.NET 5. Well, It turns out it's ASP.NET Core now.
Right.
And it's a complete rewrite from ASP.NET
That's what getting away from the numbering is designed to do. This is a total departure from the previous versions of
.NET. Exactly.
There's a lot of .NET developers out there, a lot of ASP.NET developers out there, and they're looking at ASP.NET Core, and they're a little bit intimidated by it, I think. You gave a talk today, actually, on migrating, right?
So today I did a talk on migrating from ASP.NET proper to ASP.NET Core and focused on MVC. And, you know, a lot has changed, but at the same time, a lot of the concepts we've known for years are still there.
Okay.
You still have controllers, you still have views, you still have models. There are new features, though, things like tag helpers, view components. These are things I also talked about today.
Okay.
Dependency injection is now a first-class citizen. Hmm. You're not going out to NuGet and installing something like AutoFac. Sure, you still can, but it's not something you have to do.
Right.
There's now a native IOC container. So we've got all of these shiny new features. I rattled off just a handful.
Okay.
I think maybe that's what seems a little intimidating at first. There may be some work that they could do to lower the barrier to entry, but I think they're really focused on doing that right now. It helps that people like myself are going out to events like this, getting feedback from, you know, enterprise developers that are looking at this thing, and then taking that feedback to the product team so they can pivot and really lower that barrier to entry.
Was your talk designed for people that had an existing application and they wanted to turn it into an ASP.NET Core application?
Yeah,
is that the idea?
So I'm focused primarily on developers that are using something like MVC 4, MVC 5, and ASP.NET proper.
Okay.
You know, line of business apps that have been around for years, and they really want to take advantage of some of these newer features that are available in the core stack. That's my target audience.
Well, in the past, when a new version of .NET would come out, it was with a new version of Visual Studio.
Yep.
And then my strategy was I would open up my old solution in Visual Studio. Often a migration widget would pop up and change it, sometimes not. And then I would recompile it, and some things would break. There'd be breaking changes, and I would fix those. And that would be step one, is just get it to work under the new.
Yep, and I've taken that approach myself.
And then start to say, well, are there things, can I add some of the new features? Can I refactor it so it works better with some of these new features? Is that the same approach from going from ASP.NET 4 to ASP.NET Core?
Unfortunately, it's a little more involved. Okay. And so I got the question this morning, can I just right-click my project, go to the properties page, and change the target framework from .NET Framework to .NET Core? Unfortunately, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Microsoft has provided a tool to assist the developer in migrating, and that's actually called the .NET Portability Analyzer.
Is that a command line tool?
It's a Visual Studio extension. There's also a command line tool, but most developers on Windows would use the Visual Studio extension. That will give you a report of, you know, how portable is your existing application to that desired platform.
Oh, okay. So that's how much work. You may actually have to refactor your code even before you get started.
Yep. So we'll see things like, with an MVC 5 application, you may have been using Antler or WebGrease, a couple of popular NuGet packages that were used to support bundling and minification in the MVC 5 world. Those aren't supported anymore on the core stack.
I see.
Bundling and minification has changed. Mm. This portability analyzer will point out incompatibilities like that to give you advice on maybe how you can address those.
Hmm. Okay. What's have you in your before you started writing docs? Or you actually were working with ASP.NET,
yeah,
both 4X and 5, or and Core, excuse me. There, I just
did it. You did it.
Core.
So I came from the financial services industry where I had actually introduced ASP.NET Core to the team, and we were coming from an ASP.NET proper
background.
Okay, so
you saw some of that. What are some of the pain points that you saw in your real-world projects?
Bundling and minification, which I already mentioned, that's one big thing. You've got developers that want to be able to describe the way bundling and minification should occur in C# code.
Okay.
Well, in with a default project template in ASP.NET Core, you're describing that in JSON.
I see.
So it's a different approach. It has its advantages, though. Another pain point has been package management.
Okay.
We've got this new package manager called Bower that you would use for installing client-side dependencies. Libraries or frameworks like Bootstrap or Angular or FontAwesome, these are things that you can't use NuGet for anymore. NuGet's just it's not capable of installing that type of dependency in an ASP.NET Core project.
Okay.
A lot of that has to do with the new project system that we have there for ASP.NET Core, which is another pain point for a lot of developers. It's the CPS, Common Project System. It adds some nice features that weren't there before. For example, any files you add to the project are there by default included in the project. You don't have to explicitly right-click the file and say include in project. That's a nice feature that's introduced by that project system. Lots of little things like that that take developers by surprise, or it's something brand new that they didn't expect.
So step one should always be run this analysis tool.
Yes.
Either the plugin in Visual Studio or at the command line.
Yep. There's also, you know, as another migration strategy, this notion of precompiler directives, where you have, you know, a hashtag and if statement,
right,
and you point that at some target framework moniker like .NET 4.7 for .NET Framework 4.7,
okay,
for example. You can encapsulate sections of code with those directives so that that particular code will only execute when that target framework is run, when it's targeted by Visual Studio.
Oh, is that a new feature, or is that something that's...
That's been there. Directives have been there for years.
Okay.
This is simply a migration strategy to help you get onto platforms like .NET Core.
So if you're using the latest version of .NET, then you can have bracketed code.
Right. And where this is useful is, and a lot of people don't realize this, with an ASP.NET Core application, you can actually target .NET Core and .NET Framework at the same time.
Oh.
Have your application compile twice, once against .NET Framework, once against .NET Core. That's where these precompiler directives really start to become useful as a way of slowly migrating over to .NET Core and dropping that target framework of .NET.
For people that are building applications in .NET 4, are there some strategies they should be doing? Are there things they should be avoiding? I guess they should be avoiding Antler.
Yeah, really anything tied to that obsolete methodology for bundling and minification. If at all possible, avoid that. You know, I would say prefer something like NPM package like Gulp for handling your bundling and minification. That's a first-class citizen in the ASP.NET Core world. The tooling is all there to support that. You've got, in the case of Visual Studio, you have Task Runner Explorer, which makes working with tools like Gulp very simple. That's just one approach. You know, just using dependency injection, or at least wrapping your head around what does that mean? How do I approach writing code that uses dependency injection? That'll become an important thing.
Is that necessary if you're writing ASP.NET Core code?
In some cases, it's essentially forced upon you.
Okay.
But consider that a positive aspect of the framework.
Sure.
It's helping you and encouraging you to write more testable code.
Sure.
So things like that.
All right. Are you going to continue to speak about this around the country?
I will. You know, I really enjoy it. I've given this talk probably half a dozen times now, and always get really useful feedback out of it. I wouldn't say there's been a single time where I wasn't surprised by some of the framework. you hear some pretty interesting comments from the attendees.
Oh, the pain points that they've had,
yes,
that they want to share with.
Yeah.
Now that you're a blue badge, you'll get a lot of that.
And the most common thing, like I said, is developers hope or at least think that they can right-click the ASP.NET project, go to the properties page.
How do I do this?
And change the framework.
You can't do that, sorry.
Kind of like what you would have done upgrading to a newer version of .NET framework in the past.
Yeah. Where are you speaking next?
Let's see. I'll be at MKE.NET in Milwaukee, and that's coming up in September. Got some meetups in between then. That conference in August in the Wisconsin Dells.
That's a good one.
So, yeah, it'll keep me busy.
Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you, David. I'm at Detroit Code talking about ASP.NET Core and technology in general with some new friends.